Welcome. This is ActiveSpirituality.life. It is a weekly forecast program with astrology and a guided meditation activation to help you make the most of your week. It's run by Pamela Cuccinelle, that's me, the astrologer, and Susie Mazzoli, Master Healer. We invite you to find out more about our individual work, Susie Mazzoli, susiemazzoli-healer.com, or insightoasis.com for astrology. You can also find both of us at activespirituality.life, and we look forward to your joining us every week. Please share with your friends. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to activespirituality.life with Pamela Cuccinelle and Susie Mazzoli. And here we are rounding up the end of this year, 2020, looking at week 51, starting with the new moon. And I believe Pam mentioned another eclipse. And we're starting with Monday, the 14th of December, 2020. I will jump back at the end for our 10-minute meditation. So, Pam, eclipse number two.
Well, yes, it's actually eclipse number six of 2020, but it's the last one of the year, and it's a winner. So let's talk about it a bit. Basically, the eclipse is exact at 11:17 a.m. Eastern time. All the times they give are Eastern time, so please adjust depending on where you are on the planet. And once it goes, it does its eclipse hit where it's exactly aligned in the sky, then it goes void of course, and it's void of course until 10:35 p.m. So that's almost 12 hours. And when the moon is void of course, I'll explain this briefly and then I'll talk more about the eclipse. When it's void of course, we recommend do not start anything, and definitely do not start anything on an solar eclipse. Ordinarily, new moons the day of are a little raw to actually begin an enterprise, but sometimes we do. But when it's an eclipse, it really is advisable to just wait until things quiet down a bit energetically before you begin whatever the new moon orientation intention is. So this void of course period is a void of course time. The moon is not making any more geometric aspects to another planet before it changes signs. And what we generally recommend is that you don't start anything. You do things that are projects already in motion, organize, clean up, discard, low-key energy. Do not expect any conversations, anything contractual, anything that says, is like, yeah, that's a great idea, let's run with it. Generally do not happen when the moon is void, of course, because people are not emotionally attached to outcome. So the eclipse. This eclipse is part of a Saros cycle, which means it happens every 18 years and change. And so if you look back in time to what was going on for you 18 years ago and a bit at this point in time, December, it will tell you what that eclipse is feeling like at this point in time. It may be a kind of meh, not really much of anything. I mean, that can happen if you're a person who it's not really hitting anything in any sort of exact way. Or it may be something where you say, oh, wow, yeah, I remember that. That was a point in time to reckon with. So December 2001, what was going on for you? And that will remind you what this was about. Now, what's interesting, and I'm not going to talk about him at length, it's on my blog. But what's interesting is this eclipse triggers Donald Trump's eclipse that he was born with, the Sag Gemini opposition. So that means it will probably be a very triggering point for him when this occurs. We know he's already triggered. All you have to do is look at the news. There's a lot going on. So what do eclipses mean? Well, in general, eclipses, especially the new moon solar eclipse, generally what they mean is that a door is open. We see a glimpse of something, a revelation. Something occurs that gives us some information that we did not have. And when that happens, we may engage. It may be something that's very volatile. It may be something that shakes up a situation that happens to be happening. Or it may be we don't even quite notice it, and we might think about it in retrospect. That was going on when this ended up happening. So it depends on whether it touches a point in your horoscope exactly. It's happening at 23 degrees, Sagittarius, 8 minutes. That's the actual where the new moon is. But this is also going to touch a point in your horoscope if you've got 23 degrees and on of a any mutable sign, Gemini, Virgo, or Pisces, because you are getting that hit from it. So angles, planetary points, these are things to look at if you have your personal horoscope. The other thing is that it's lighting up, or it's activating the area of life that Sagittarius Gemini falls in your horoscope. So if you know where that is, it's just of interest to pay attention what's going on late degree of those signs in your personal horoscope. But overall, this eclipse it has a lot of tension with it. When we look at it historically, we can see that it has to do with events that are a bit fraught, stressful. And so the way to invite it in, knowing that, is how do you set yourself up for making this as auspicious as it can be? Because you don't want to carry the heaviness, the fraught energy in with you if you can avoid it. Now, there are some things that are basically positive about this new moon eclipse. And one of them is that it has tremendous energy and thrust about it. So if it is touching a personal point, or even if it's not, and you want to use the momentum of it, think in terms of what can you initiate or start to move forward with that has to do with aspects that have to do with legal matters, things that might have to do with something that has to do with higher education or global endeavors, travel, which many of us are not doing really at this point in time due to the pandemic. But this could be a time of not necessarily on this day, as I said, but where over the next couple of weeks you reflect, put into place, start working towards goals that have to do with these kind of outcomes. It doesn't have to be things that relate to the sign of Sagittarius. It can be anything that's new that you want to actively engage in. But it does carry with it a certain kind of leadership momentum that really is asking, what is it that you want to carve out and move forward with, which is very much something that you're willing to own, take responsibility for, and deal with things that may be less than comfortable. Because it's those kind of moves forward that really help us realize and bring into fruition actions, endeavors that we want to take. Because this is part of a Saros cycle, historically, it's a very strong emotional eclipse, a lot about relationships and or money. There can be anger, lust, grief, sense of fatedness, and you can be caught up in something that feels beyond your control. There can be a sudden desire to act on a situation or a relationship. Avoid rash actions if possible. Reflect on what was going on for you December 2001, if you can. Very hot time for many people because it was right after 9/11. This could be a very hot day in the news. There can be things that occur and happen that have some sort of long-term or ongoing effects. So just be aware of that. Once the moon is void, of course, as I said earlier, we want to kind of take stock. But there is a picture in the sky between Venus and Jupiter, which is very harmoniously aspected. And I see this as adding some grace to whatever may be stirring the pot or instigating a lot of what might be negative or, as I keep saying, fraught activity. And the thing to look for the kind of relief or positive aspects here is in human connections, people who you trust, people who you can find like-minded ways of agreeing or getting things in motion with. And you're not going to launch the boat this day, but it is good to kind of listen and watch for where the opportunities may come, because they're out there. And the question is, what is going to be things that work with you and float that boat? Or what are things that maybe it's too much difficulty, or there's too much, it's like people rowing in one direction and people rowing in the other. So you want to look for allies. Allies are out there, especially if you're particularly triggered or feel as though this eclipse is touching off something or instigating something that doesn't feel very comfortable for you, then look for the allies. Look for the people and situations, investments that basically have your back and are on your side with this, because it's out there. It's just that part of the nature of this kind of haziness with the eclipse is that we may not really see what that looks like. Again, eclipses, often when they happen, the sky is obfuscated. There may be cloudiness as opposed to clarity, depending on where you are. So often the day is a bit cloudy and obfuscated because what's happening is the moon is actually passing in front of the sun from our perspective. So what's happening is some of us may see it depending on where we are on the planet. And for others, it just may look like it's a cloudy day and we're not really perceiving what's going on. So that level of cloudiness, confusion can carry over in our perceptions of what reality is. But what I'm saying is that we do have opportunities available to us, all of us do. It's just, are you going to be clouded by your perception of what's there so that you don't see what could be possible? And so it's important to leave openings in consciousness so that you're not overwhelmed by what seems to be reality, and you're able to access what can be possibilities. So the moon enters the sign of Capricorn at 10:35 p.m. And once this happens, it sets up energetically a lot more possible momentum than we had on the day itself. It's a working moon. It's in the sign of Capricorn. So it's roll up your sleeves, let's get down to it. Plus, at The other thing that happens is there's a picture in the sky between Mercury and Mars, which really facilitates and allows a lot of direct communication. So if things felt confused or weren't flowing the way you thought they should have or might have, suddenly there's access you can have to connecting and following up, and the emails are coming in, and people are responding to their texts, and there's a lot more emotion that starts to occur. On the 15th, the way is clear. The moon in the sign of Capricorn really sets up a lovely energy about let's get to it, let's make things happen, let's forge alliances and take responsibility and move. So all the noise and craziness and like self-destruction that might have happened the day before, hopefully not you or people you're working with, but there was that kind of stuff that may have been shooting off for some people. And the 15th, 16th is about hunker down, do the work, make it happen. So this is really moving this energetically, the way it can kind of cut through all the noise, distractions, quite honestly, bullshit, that may have been in front of you or muddying things up. Now you can really move through it. See what it is. Everybody sees what it is. And so there's the ability to take action, sign the dotted line, make things happen is so very strong and directed on both the 15th and the 16th. The thing to notice on the 16th is there might be some short tempers, people who get into arguments mid-morning, early morning, don't engage in things that are petty or going to throw you. Stay alert when you're on the road because some people, you know, they take it out with their cars, and just do what needs to be done so that you recognize if the anger or grievance is happening with you. See how you can channel it in the most constructive ways, because anger is useful when it lets us know what we need to act against or with, but it's paralyzing if it goes off too fast or shoots in the wrong direction or is not used as fuel for whatever it is we want to make happen. Very powerful afternoon for people who know exactly what they want and where they're going. May that be you. So on the 17th, the moon goes void, of course, just after midnight in the wee hours, 12:34 a.m., and it enters the sign of Aquarius at 1:27 a.m. Now, this is according to my calendar around the season of Hanukkah. So blessings to you all who honor and focus on that. But this particular day, the 17th and then the 18th, are days that, again, carry this nice momentum of being able to actualize intentions of what that new moon was offering. So that's why it's so important to be crystal clear that your intentions truly do dovetail with what you want, and you're not kind of triggered and thrown by someone else's demands or derailing, so that you stay clear on what it is you're building for and making happen. 17th and 18th, excellent days for networking, connecting with people who are going to move that idea or thought forward. Excellent for anything that has to do with computer, internet, communication. Really, really strong days for these things. And the other thing is that Saturn has gone back into Aquarius as of the 17th, just after midnight, 12:03 a.m. So that's setting us up for the winter solstice talk that I'll do next week, when Saturn and Jupiter are both in Aquarius and have the conjunction, something that has not happened since the 1200s. So we'll get there. On the 18th, as I said, another very strong day, networking, launching things, getting the boat out into the waters, doing the things that have to do with new connections and intentions and endeavors. So on the 19th, the moon goes void of course at 3:45 a.m. and it enters the sign of Pisces at 7:39 a.m. And once it goes into the sign of Pisces, now we're moving towards what energetically happens and builds up as we get to the winter solstice. But the important thing to keep in mind here is that we are still with very strong momentum for realizing goals, intentions, and dreams with this waxing moon cycle. The moon in Pisces is working beautifully with everything that is coming off from that waxing moon cycle. So we're at a point where we can really reflect, kind of consider, what was my intention? How is it coming off? Do I have everything I need? One thing to keep in mind on the 19th is we may find that some of the people or investments we thought were on board with whatever we're doing aren't necessarily working the way we thought they would. So they might need to be tweaked a bit, not necessarily thrown out, but we need to make sure that our goals, intentions, and what we're bringing in are being recognized so that we're feeling we're getting give-take happening in an equal way. Jupiter enters the sign of Aquarius. So now we've got both Saturn and Jupiter in Aquarius moving towards the conjunction on the 21st. This is really excellent about what I will continue to talk about and you can read about, of the 200-year cycle that's going to be about air, innovation, ideas, collaborations, communications. That's where the economic strategy and integrity is going to be from this point on. The 19th, as I said, very strong day for initiating and building, as is the 20th. Moon is in Pisces, so be sure to do reflection, recharge time. This gives you more energy, more direction. It's kind of like you don't really have to work as hard as you think you might. Water sign people get this more easily than others sometimes. So the more you kind of relax into it and let it flow, the faster the current goes. And now I turn it over to Susie.
I like to hear you don't have to work that hard.
I thought you'd like that.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear that a lot more in the astrology of like, yeah, you don't need to work that hard. That would be nice for us. So, Pam, the key word for this eclipse is?
It's dynamic.
Dynamic. But you don't have to work so hard.
Well, the work on the eclipse comes in with not getting swept up in the tension.
Not getting
engaged. That's the work of the eclipse. Because
yeah.
There's a lot of fraught, volatile energy.
Okay, so that's somewhere where I spend a lot of work with my clients is the idea of not getting engaged. So let's let that be our meditation today. So I invite everybody, as we do every week, just to find a place of quiet, place of stillness, hopefully a place where you can be sitting down. And remember that these meditations, although we are creating them every week for the week, that they are initiated by the week, that these meditations you can use at any point on any day, in any week, on any year. So feel free to use them anytime. Take a deep breath. Feel yourself arriving, becoming present and feel yourself just falling into that place of what we like to call neutrality. And in the place of neutrality, we are aware. We are completely aware. We're not asleep. We're not numbed. We're certainly not detached. We are in complete awareness. We see everything. We hear everything. We know what's going on. And just see yourself, visualize yourself now. You're probably sitting in a nice, quiet meditation with eyes closed. But just visualize that you have eyes all over your body, like a cartoon character covered with eyes. And you can see with all of these eyes. So you're seeing from many different directions. You're seeing behind you, on your sides, the bottom of your feet. Visualize eyes in the palms of your hand. And just visualize that you are full of eyes looking out to the world, and these eyes are seeing the world. You're seeing what's going on from different angles, from different viewpoints. And as all this information comes into your brain is not choosing sides. Your brain is not tainted by your own experience in your own life. You're just collecting the information for what it is. Just understanding things and seeing them for what they are. And then visualize yourself now covered with ears. The ears naturally at the side of your head. And then ears all over your body so that you are able to again now hear from all the different directions. And as you hear from all the different directions, you're hearing things again with a neutrality. That neutrality is just being aware and hearing, but not choosing a side, not engaging, not going towards anything, just listening. Just listening, as you might just now be listening during our meditation to the sounds around you, recognizing them, what they are, but not necessarily engaging with them. And just feel yourself as if you could literally turn up the dial, making yourself more aware. And with this awareness, not becoming more sensitive or more engaged, just more aware, just listening and seeing, hearing sounds from further away, from really close up, seeing things that are on the other side of the planet, and seeing things that are right beside you. And it's a state of awareness. And in this state of awareness, we're opening up to being more aware, perhaps aware of things we've never seen before, never heard before. Opening up to things that we perhaps have never, ever engaged with. And in this opening up, we are not giving an emotion or a concept. We're not categorizing. We're not delineating. We're not giving it any type of intellectual, mental grouping. It's just a noticing, just an awareness. And this way of being is something that we really can work towards every day a little bit more, because we have been trained and we more or less are used to immediately reacting, immediately responding. It's natural for us, and it takes some work for us to not respond, to not react, to not immediately jump to a conclusion, a summation, to an idea, to a resolution, to an emotion, to a judgment. This is right, this is wrong, I like it, I don't like it. You're attacking me, I'm attacking you back. Let's see how much we can really build up our observation, being the witness, just seeing, just hearing, and not engaging. And as we do this, we start to build up more and more neutrality. And this actually helps us to build up compassion and understanding, because we spend a longer time in that state of not jumping to a conclusion, a longer state not jumping to a feeling, not jumping into action. And it's very hard, especially if balls are being thrown at us and we're being expected to catch them mid-air. It's very hard for us if plates are flying across the room and we're trying to catch them. But what happens when we're not catching everything thrown at us? What happens if we can allow things to just hover in the air? What happens if our perception can shift a little bit more, just a little bit more, into that state of awareness and not engagement? When the words are flying, when the tension is high, when there is volatility, when our very survival might even be questioned, how much does it take for us to hold that space? And we can practice in meditation. We can practice in the command of mind, the command of our emotions. We can do a great deal of practice in this state of meditation, so that when we are out there in the so-called living world, when we're out there in the active world, when we're out there with our eyes open and our bodies moving around, we will have this inner, deeper peace, and we will bring this to the situation. We'll be able to take a few deeper breaths, a few slow, longer, deeper breaths, and we'll be able to decide, do I really need to react? Do I really need to engage? Will it resolve the situation, or will it continue the tension? Do I need to enter the drama? And we're so used to being drama queens and kings, we're so used to being out there on the stage. What happens when we have the choice? What happens when we can hold the awareness. Taking a few deeper breaths, allowing ourselves to sit with this awareness, allowing it to spread out. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Pam, for another wonderful week of information for us to go forth. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and we'll be with you next week as we are slowly coming up to the end of this year. Thanks so much, everyone. Love now.
You have been listening to Susie Mazzoli and Pamela Cuccinell of ActiveSpirituality.life. If you've enjoyed this program, consider a donation. You can find the link for that, activespirituality.life. Regardless, we look forward to having you join us again for next week's podcast. Please share and have a great week.